God is good. Joel, he told us in the car he's the man of God because somebody said that. He's a man of God. That's what you want to be known as, a man or woman of God. Because God is our name. God is our name. Our name may not have God in it, but Yael in Hebrew is God, God. Yael. So it's God, God. So he's double God. Double portion.
Amen.
And so Yael, Joel. But we all will be named with a new name in heaven. And it'll all have the name God in it, no matter what. You see, you have the same name. So he knows how to name us. But it'll be a new name. Name which no one knows, but you'll be distinguished from everybody else.
Amen.
You'll have your own name.
Janet's got one.
She has one?
Yonette.
That's good. That's good. So,
amen.
Lead us along with a song.
Yes.
Oh. All right.
A good hymn, a favorite one.
Up. Amen.
All right. This is kind of an old one. Some of you. In shady green pasture so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Through the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
It sounds like a heavenly song.
Oh, yeah.
It's a heavenly song.
Yeah, really.
That's a blessing.
So, some 20 years ago, we met Joel, and as soon as we met, I think he said afterward, you must come to Uganda. I said, no, I don't want to come to Uganda. I was very quick about that. No, I don't want to do that. But he prayed, and so I came. And his people prayed, so I came.
Amen.
And so it's been a rich, rich experience. Mm-hmm. There are human decisions don't make a decision. Only God's decisions make a decision. So when someone says no, it might be a yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. God can change anybody at any time. So, but once you go to Africa, you're changed. Yeah. Once you go to Africa, you're changed. Because the people there are just like us. They know the Lord, and they're going to heaven. So, yeah. We're all related. One blood. There's only one blood, not type O and type A and whatever. And that one blood is that everybody's related. And so we love every man equally as we love ourselves. As a matter of fact, as Christians, we love others even before ourselves. Because it's not your love anyway. It's actually God's love. Jesus, men thought he was good, a good person. But he said, why do you call me good? He didn't mean he wasn't. He just meant, what is your reason for calling me good? Don't you know that the Father who dwells in me does all the good works, not me. I didn't come in my own name. Others come in their own name. You will magnify them. You will glorify them. But I came in another's name, the name which is above all names, and the name of the Father. So he only revealed the Father. He never said his own words. He never did his own deeds. He only did the Father's deeds, and that's an example to us. Always share in such a way that God gets the glory. Mm-hmm. Never touch his glory. You are the glory of God. As a matter of fact, if you want to glorify God, you keep his commandments. But you don't keep them. You keep them in Christ. You keep them in Christ. So whether you do it by faith or whether you do it by sight, it's by the blood of Jesus that we're believers. That not only forgives your sin, cleanses you from all unrighteousness, but also perfects you in love. Faith and hope are gone. Only love is seen at the end. So, love your neighbor just as you love yourself. Do you wish to be loved? Love your neighbor the same way. So that's what it means. Love your neighbor as yourself. As in heaven, so on earth. So we are actually experiencing heaven on earth. That's the church. The true church. The true church is not mixing it. We are pure. Because it's by faith in God's work. It's not in your work. It's not in your work. It's in God's work. You're not perfect, Annette. You haven't gotten there yet. But you will someday see him as he is. And you'll be like him. So, but you can begin today in faith. You don't even have to think about it. Just simply read it and do it. Read it, do it. Doesn't matter that you're always right. Sometimes you're not right. What matters is that you are faithful to him. All things done by faith are acceptable. It's approved by God. So everything you've done by faith in his word is approved by God.
Praise
whether you see him or whether it's by faith, it doesn't matter. Because you don't have to worry about the cross. His death is your death. His burial is your burial. His resurrection is your resurrection. His ascension on high is your ascension on high. His sitting on the right hand of God is your already now.
Amen.
On
Hallelujah.
The right hand of God. You don't have to look forward to it.
Hallelujah.
There's no time in heaven. There's no space in heaven. This good news has filled the world with happiness and joy. And God's will is for everybody to be joyous, glad-hearted, because of the gospel.
Glory to God.
That's the whole
Glory
thing.
Glory to God.
And I like it that he has almost 700 young people that he's feeding every day and taking care of their clothing and food and fees for school and everything. Because they have happiness and hope. They didn't have that before. They did not have that before. So there is hope in God. And that hope is part of the promise. Hope gives promise of the future. But it also has everyday mercies. Everyday revelation. Every day. But you have to seek him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength by faith. When you do it by faith, it's easy. I do this all the time, but I was up at 4 this morning. Actually, 4:30. And so I spend time with God. I never get insomnia because I just read the Bible and I fall asleep. But actually I do. I spend those times just reading the Word. The Word is what's important today. The written Word, which leads us to the living Word.
Amen.
The written Word, which leads us to the living Word. So I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. To have life, it's not talking about bios, biological life. He's talking about eternal life. We have eternal life by believing. But he wants it, you have it more abundantly. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the more abundant is not more eternal life. It doesn't increase. But you love your neighbor as yourself. That's life. He blessed you so you could be a blessing. He blessed you so you could be a blessing. He makes your name great so that you can use that greatness to bless others. That's what Joel does with all of these young champions. He makes them have a new view, not of themselves, but of God. God blesses them so they can be a blessing to others. So that's the champion code. That's the champion maxim. That is explaining why he's doing what he's doing, because he's part of the Abrahamic covenant. And we're all part of the Abrahamic covenant. So, how many have you blessed today? It's hard for flesh to do that, but spirit can do it in a moment.
Amen.
So all you need is the Spirit of the living God. But he's inside of you. He's working through you. And that's God working through you. So we haven't seen the end of God's works. As a matter of fact, they go on and on and on and on and on. World without end. It's amazing. Forgiven all your past. And now he's in you today to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right. This is Joel. And he's going to stay for a few minutes afterward. We'll try to time it so that you have several minutes, because I know some people will come and they didn't know Joel would be here. And so, oh, I want to talk to Joel. So I have a few minutes to do that. Then we'll whisk him away and take him to Fort Worth. Joel.
I greet you all, brothers, in the name of the Lord. I'm so happy to be here again and meet many of you. And our people back home, they told me to convey their greetings to each one of you. You are always in our prayers, and we always have Pastor Jim on videos and the CD and the audio tapes that we have, and so we always, our heart is really connected with this church so much. Amen. And we are so much blessed, and we have so many blessings from this church. I don't know whether you understand that. Pastor Jim said that it is now 20 years. It was 1998 since I came to Emmanuel Church. Wow. And ever since that time, we have been acquainted together like this. And much has been achieved than you have ever imagined in the kingdom of God. Much, much has been done in Uganda between us. And I'm so surprised that Emmanuel Church is not a mega church. But always God surprises the way actually does his work.
Some people are slow, Joel. We're trying to get
there. They're still on their way.
So, I have a lot to share with you, but I have very limited time. But I came with a video, which I will see some few minutes ago. It's a very brief video of 8 minutes. But God has been so good to us in Uganda. We can witness his presence and his great workings in our midst. As I told you, we started a new church in one of the small towns. And the way we started was very humble. And but you wonder what God is doing so far. Because the church now is consisted with almost 100 people, adults.
Wow.
In that small town. And God spoke to me like for 2 years before we started. But whenever I could pass that place, the conviction was always there. Until finally, I felt like losing the conviction. Oh, and I realized this might be rebellion. I'm getting late. So we started slowly. But God is really an amazing God. Yeah, in Africa, when you see someone bring his or her witchcraft to be set on fire, that means that someone has done the total commitment to God. Because many people grew up in voodoo. I mean, even myself, even though I was a Catholic, but I used to know that the devil is so powerful. Nobody can conquer the devil. Nobody can overcome that. We used to yield to the devil, I mean, to the demons and evil spirits, in fear that if we don't do that, they are going to harm us and nobody is going to help us. But when we realized that there is Jesus who came to set us free, that was really, really something good. And when you see someone bringing that, you can actually know that God is doing, he has revealed himself to him. That is what is happening in this new church. And there's another church where I was born. That church is also growing in a way that I can't even explain. We started very, very, very small. This happened when my mom died. She died when I was in this country. I was not able to attend the funeral. But when I went back, I called back the family and friends and the relatives. We were almost 200 people. We came and spent 3 days together in celebrating the legacy of our mother. And in fact, that's the reason why, that's what I told them. Come, let us celebrate the legacy of our mother. But the bottom line was to preach the gospel. I realized that was the only moment I can use to preach to them, because our mom was the point of contact of everybody. But now she's gone. I knew that is the end of the whole story. Of that. That's why I used her name and that word celebrating, because everybody was excited, wanted to come. And I thank God when I preached, only 15 people, 15 of them out of 200, only 15 of them got saved. And for your information, 10 were coming from far distances. Only 5 were coming from that community. Out of that 5, now the church is over 100 people. Adults, wow. And so many kids, and when God spoke to us, he told us that we have to deal with kids if we want to change the cycle. We have to deal with the kids in that area, because that was the center of voodoo, the center of witchcraft. The headquarter of our clan is right there in that village. So now with the children, we are changing the cycle. I'll give you an example. On Easter, we had over 200 kids. Even those who are not coming to church, they send their kids to us. And with the school we are running there, God is giving us that area. It's taking over. The voodoo influence is coming down, and the flag of salvation is coming up. So we are seeing that with our eyes, and we really thank God for that. I wanted to sing a song before I read the Bible, and I think you know that song. I always sing that song here when Brother Don sang that song. That was good. I was like, keep on going, keep on singing, sing it again and again. I love worshiping God. Tonda monze omutima omuyonjo ozebuja omoyo wange tonda monze omutima omuyonjo ozebuja omoyo wange tonzi jako moyo omutukuvu Tongo banga wawoli Yesu na enze nkomezao esanyu ly'obulokozi Yesu ozebuja omoyo wange creating me a clean heart and a renew a right spirit within me creating me a clean heart and a renew a right spirit within me cast me not away from thy presence O Lord take down your Holy Spirit on me restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and a renew a right spirit within me and a renew a right spirit within me may I ask my brother to give us the video? I mean, it is just a little bit of what we are doing, but as I said that I don't have much time here, I think this video, a little video, can help us to see a little bit of what is going on in Uganda. Thank you. I was explaining the areas where we are this year, where we brought them, because each year we get them from different tribes and different regions and languages. So that is the main campus. Many of you have been to that place. That is where I was born, and we really thank God for. We have a church building and clinic building, though the clinic is not yet in motion, it's working, but the building is almost done. That is that is the new school started. Just like we are operating in four different locations. Campuses, But that is the recent one, less than 2 years. And we started with that one. Yeah, that one.
Wow.
And after 1 year, actually, we were able to put up that one.
Praise
the
Lord.
So that is, there is no school in that area. There's nothing. The school is like 10 miles away. And the other one on the side, that is the teacher's quarter right there. And we have the water tank, which is a very good, a big deal. When we, it rains, only one day that tank always get full.
Wow!
Oh, yeah,
that's
and we have the borehole. That is a big deal because our children used to go down. That is where we used to get water, and even the cows used to go at the same place. But getting the borehole, that was a real big deal, and really we thank God for what He's doing just in less than 2 years in that area. There are so many different tribes in that area. That's why we needed it, because when you get the tribes, you are getting the country. So we really thank God for that. And what I'm saying now, which you can't hear on this with this volume, we are buying that. We want to buy that area behind the big building, so that we may continue expanding. Expanding, which costs about $2,000. It's a big area, and we can use it for the purposes of the kingdom.
Angela is?
Yeah, that is now where Angela is really actually. The two red doors, that is one is her office, and another one is the storage, and the other side is the church.
Where the big sunflowers are.
Exactly, exactly.
On the road.
Yeah, now we are back. We are back on the. Remember, you guys, when you came to Africa, you bought us that building which was on sale, and we turned it to a clinic project, which serves like six other communities, as well as serving the champions.
What's the doctor's name again?
Paul. Paul is the doctor right there. He's our son. We got him when he was 3 months, but we are so excited that now he's our doctor. Yeah, he's one of the champions. And his brother, Dennis. Dennis was here one time, and he's our administrator now. After college, he came and is our administrator. That is now the extension of the clinic building. It's a big complex, and it's going to serve the purpose. And we thank God that someone from Emmanuel Church in Fort Worth donated the money for us to reach that far. Anyway, part of it is the maternity ward, because many mothers, some of them even, they lose their life by the time of delivering their babies. So we are working on saving their lives and many other medical activities and services will be done in that building. That is one of our cornfield, and we are working on buying a tractor, and we are already halfway the price of the tractor. Yeah, now it's about $13,000, because the total cost is $30,000. Where what we did. Out of the corn we harvested, we stored them because during the time of harvest, the cost is always low. So after 2 months or 3 months, it skyrockets, goes up. So we are waiting now until the end of May, and we are expecting very good to get more than half of what we need to get a tractor from the corn we got. And we thank God, Brother Andrew, Andrew and Kathy DeBoss, I think you know them, they have contributed 2,500 towards that. So we really, really thank God. When we get a tractor, we can grow like 10 times than that you have seen there, because we are using our hands, but with the tractor, we can. We have almost 50 acres now, and with that acres, we can grow enough food and even more than enough to get to sell some of them to other needs of the ministry. But I'm here to thank you so much for supporting us, and not only in terms of finances, but also to come to Uganda. You're coming, especially you. I don't know whether you know the impact you bring to the body of Christ when you come. I was telling Pastor Jim that the previous time you guys came, everywhere we went, now they are asking, when are they coming back? When are they coming back? When are they coming back? We went to Jinja, went to Mukono, and we met different pastors and married couples, remember that? So they are they can't wait to see you coming back, and I'm here to invite you again, Pastor Jim. I don't know, but we need you. We need you guys to come and speak to the body of Christ to Uganda. We get so much blessed. We need the truth. We love the truth, because we know that it's only the truth that can set someone free. Thank you. Father, we want to thank you today. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tremendous mercies. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, for that free gift of salvation. And thank you for the family. Thank you for church. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our time. And thank you for what you are doing with us, through us, and for us. And right now, as I'm standing before your people, the very brief message that I have on my heart, Lord, I pray that may bless each and every individual. We thank you. We give you all the praises and glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Brothers, if you don't mind, I think let us open up our Bible in Matthew chapter 21, and we are going to begin reading from verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. Today I'm going to be just explaining how God actually is working with his people in these days, and more especially in our country, Uganda. Okay, we are reading. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." Let me read 20, verse 29 again. He answered and said, "I will not." But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." And he went not. Whether of them twin did the will of his father, did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. May God bless his work. This is what I feel in my spirit and what God has been teaching me over the years. One step of obedience is better than a ton of prayers. Let me just say that again. Just one step of obedience to God is always better than a ton of prayers. When you come to Uganda, you are going to find out that prayers is our way of living. People, they pray. People, they fast, including our champions, too. If you find them praying in the prayer garden, which we constructed in the form of the cross, you can't believe they are young kids. Prayer is our way of living. I don't have any problem with prayer, and I agree that every believer must be a prayer warrior. And I believe that praying is just talking to God, and God talk to his son, talk back to us. It is not just praying and telling God what to do. Because mostly when we go before God, we always go with the idea of telling him what you want, what you need, and what you think. Mm-hmm. And very few of us know for sure that it is not all about what you tell him counts, but it's always what he's going to tell you is what can make the difference. God is just like we parents. Can you imagine what can happen if our children listen and obey all the time? Can you what can happen in their future? What can happen in their lives? Because godly parents, they always know better than the children. They know what is better and what is good for them and what is good for their future. But if they can obey, listen and obey and do what we tell them to do, I think that is the foundation of their better life in future. The same way God, he wants his children to listen and obey. Can you imagine if all Christians and believers learn to listen to God and obey? Pastor Jim said that is always before God. You say that you woke up four o'clock and read the Bible and spend time in the presence of God. That is wonderful. I think we don't just go to God just to tell him what we need, the problems and the challenges and we are going through. But I think we are always there to listen to what he's going to tell us, because he knows the best and he always wishes the best for us. He always wishes the best. In the scriptures we have just read, the Bible talks about these two sons of a certain man. He told the first one to go and work. And the first thing he did was to say, no. I think always no is a childish idea. We are born with negative thinking, and we are born selfish. We don't want, we always want to get what we need, what we need to hear, what we need to do, where we need to go, how to go about. We think, I have Jonathan in my home, our last son, he's now like 4 years and 3 months. But he thinks he's the boss in the house. He thinks he knows a lot. When you talk to him, the first thing he always say, no. Saying no is always for children. And I believe listening and obey leads to maturity. Show me somebody who have grown up in Christ, in God. And I'll tell you that is someone who listens to God and obey, whatever cost it takes. When Pastor Jim said that when I came here in 1998, I invited him. When I heard him teach, I was convinced in my spirit that this is the guy we need in our country. Because I've been there, I was born there, and I knew this, the state of the church, and I realized that this is the man for us. I mean, what he has is the best we need in our country. Because in Uganda, if you talk about evangelists, I mean, or doing evangelism and preaching, we have a lot everywhere. There are so many, but very few teachers, very few people who can ground and disciple the people in the truth. So when I heard him, I said, right after his message, I'm going to run quickly and talk to him what I feel in my spirit. And I said, Pastor, you are the man. I'm here to invite you in my country to come and bless Uganda. As he said, no. Just like this first kid, usually when God speaks to us, he's always going to speak and tell us something beyond our understanding, things beyond our feelings, beyond our desires. And what he always tells us is not only good for him, but it's always better for us. Sometimes we always pray, and we never knew that we are sometimes answers to the prayers of others. Let me say that again. All children of God, when we go to God, always remember that it's not only what you want, but you yourself, you might be the answer. You might be having the answer, whether with what God has already deposited in your spirit, your callings, your anointing. You remember for sure that the anointing is not for me. The anointing is for others. Others. God, when he tells us something, always remember that you might be the answer to many others with your words, sometimes with your presence. I remember when Lynn and Valerie, I'm sorry that Valerie went to be with the Lord and she went quickly. We were still in need of her here. But well, we shall meet her in a better place than this world. But when Lynn and Valerie came to Uganda, they never said anything. It was just Jackie and Marshall. I mean, they were the one preaching and preaching. But their presence touched so many people. Their presence, they saw the peace. They saw someone just loving people. When that team left, people, they are not talking much about Jackie's messages. They were talking about Valerie and Lynn. Yeah. So you might be the answer. You with your presence, with your words, sometimes with your money. Oh, that is a hard saying. Sometimes with your money. God has challenged me so many times with my money. I think of doing this, and God says, do that. Sometimes comforting with some people, with just few words. God can use the ordinary for extraordinary work. The problem we have in the church is not what we have not done, because always when we do what we want might bring very small impact, but when we reach to that point where Jesus, remember Jesus in the Garden of Eden, when he said, not my will, but let your will be done. The will of his Father was the answer to the whole world. But the will of Jesus by that time to take the cup away from him, oh my God. Thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Until Jesus surrendered to God's will. The same with these guys we have just read in the Bible. The first one said, no. No. The second one said, yes. But he did the opposite. He didn't do it. It was yes and never do anything. So that is the type of the church in our generation. People, they shout, they jump. People, you see them excited in Uganda, and you think that they are going to do what God has said for them to do. But at the end of the day, you find out nothing. Nothing. Or very little impact. But thank God for the few who are like this first young man. The Bible says that he repented. He apologized. And he went and he do what his father told him to do. Thank God, Pastor, that eventually you repented. And you came to Uganda. And see what God has happened, what God has done ever since you surrendered to his will. I believe that many of you guys, it is not easy to leave this country and come to Africa. I remember when Janet, when she came to our school and the home of the champions. I would never forget that experience because she wanted to ease herself. And when someone took her, she said, no, I can't do this. I can't. You have to find me another restroom. I said, Lord, what can we do? How can I drive back home 20 miles away? How is that going to happen? And then I realized that between the distance, there is a Catholic church, and I thought that maybe they might have a better restroom. Thank God, because even if we found the priest at the gate, and when I talked to him, he said, please go. Then from that time, I started praying, and I said, Lord, help us to get the Western style restroom, so that when our brothers, especially our sisters, when they come to visit us, they may have a comfortable time. God spoke through her to lead me to do something very good. So I don't know how to bring this out. But my point is this, every miracle that has ever happened from the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, there is somebody somewhere who obeyed. Who obeyed. I was thinking about the people who came to Africa some years back, where there was no aeroplanes, and they just came by ship to Africa. When I think about those missionaries, I see that we can't give any excuse in our time. Within only 15 hours, I'm in America, and another 15 hours, I'm back to Uganda. But these are the people who spent three months, no airplane, no cell phones, nothing of the conveniences we have in our time. But they listened and obeyed. Listened and obeyed. I want to give you some quotes in the Bible here, and then I'll try to wind up. When we read in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 11 to 16, we see a miracle that took place in the days of Elijah. The Bible says that Elijah was being fed by the birds, and he had the fountain. But time came and the fountain dried up, and the birds never bring food anymore. And the God told him to go to somebody, to a widow. And he found this widow having only one meal to eat and die. But that's where God told Elijah, that's where I'm going to feed you. Feeding me to a place where people have only one meal, and after that one meal, they are going to die. Thank God, because such a man like Elijah, he learned to obey. Because when God tells you something, he's going to deal with it. He's going to be to have the solution. Though there were no food, only one meal in the family, in the home. But the Bible says that when Elijah told this lady to bring that one meal, and prepare that meal for him before he feeds the others. You can't talk to a mother about his children. About his children. You can talk to the husband about the husband. But as far as it is concerning the children, you have to be very careful. You can't tell my wife to give you Jonathan's food. That will take a tug of war. But thank God, this lady obeyed. And when she obeyed, the Bible says both of them lived without any lack. Elijah was fed all the time he was there, and the food was always there in the home. God is a miracle-working God. Every miracle, when you read in the scriptures, you are going to see that there is someone who obeyed in that time. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? 5,000 with only 2 loaves and 5 fish. The disciples, they just obeyed. They learned how to obey and take a step of doing what God says, and then the miracle takes place. As I wind up, this is what is happening in the ministry. When God told us less than 2 years to go in that area, I never knew that God had already planned his way. Because we are able to put up that small structure. But what God is doing now and how that area is blessed is quite amazing. When we went to start the major, the main campus, I told you the story, and many of you, you know that. Because there was a time when I said, no, I'm not going there anymore. But Sarah said, and she insisted and said, no, let's go and talk to that man. Finally, I obeyed. But I said, okay, let's go. But I didn't have any crew. I didn't have an idea that this man was going to accept. I just went. But for your information, when this guy saw us, he just said, we've been talking and thinking about you the last 5 days. Go and bring the surveyor, and I'll show you where we can sell the land. It is that very place where Sarah said that my heart is there on that portion of the land. We wanted to buy only 1 acre and a half. Long story short, the guy insisted and he said, no, you have to buy all the 5. We didn't have money for the 5. We had money for 1.5 acres. But long story short, God provided in a malicious way. And they started with 5 acres. Now we have almost 50 acres. And that's when Pastor Jim and the rest came, and things started to expand. Time came when I said, Lord, I take off my hand. This is your doing. I'm just here to be a witness, to tell out what you are doing and what you are planning to do. And I thank God. We are serving a malicious God. I can tell you one story after the other, one miracle after the other. But I'm here. I don't know whether this is the right word to use, to challenge you, brothers. God is at work. He speaks. And what he speaks is better than what you think. Let us include him in everything we do. Let us include him in our businesses. But people who are doing business. Let us include him in our home affairs, in our marriage. And we said, you end up with something that has just happened in Uganda. 2 weeks before I left the country, they came to me and they wanted to offer some airtime for us to be on LOTV, Lighthouse, and is sponsored and started and sponsored by Bill Nicol. Remember Bill Nicol? Bob Nicol from Fort Worth here. It is a very expensive television because it goes all over the country and East Africa and many other neighborhood countries. And they have now offered us 30 minutes on Saturday and 30 minutes on Thursday. So every Thursday we are on TV speaking to the married couples around the country and outside Uganda. And this is Kim. Just few months before that, someone said, and he said, Pastor, you need to take this on TV. And I said, stop it. You don't know what it costs to be on TV. It is 500,000 shillings for 30 minutes. That is a lot of money in Uganda. But we are on air twice a week. When I told him, stop it, then after some time, these people came. When I combined the two, I said, okay, Lord, this is the time. God speaks. And what God speaks is better and give more impact than what we can do. There is the reason why we are doing, I mean, what is happening in our time is very small like this. It is because we are like the second son of this man. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we do nothing. And I think that is the same applies to the generation of our children. May I wind up by saying that that the church and the coming generation, we are on the same level. What we want to say always, yes, but we don't do anything. Let us repent and think of listening and obey. One step of obedience is better than 1,000 ton of prayers. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Dear our loving Father, we want to give you all the praises and glory and honor for what you are. You are the creator. You are our everything, you know, and you have the best for us. And Lord, you always want us, Lord, to obey. Because whatever we have is yours, and what is yours is for us. We are not owning anything. We are just stewards of everything, stewards of our families, our children, stewards of the businesses and the ministries and organizations, Lord, and stewards of the government, leaders. And Father, help us, help the church, help each one of us in our capacity so that we may not just do our will, but when you come and with your will, help us to obey. Lord, that we want to repent of the many times we have not done, Lord, what you have said. And we are like stagnant, going nowhere, struggling. But Lord, forgive us and help us by your Holy Spirit to remind us this message and always help us, Lord, to obey, so that you may do an extraordinary work with your ordinary people. Because you are not looking for professionals, Lord, but you are looking for those who can say yes to you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise and glory and honor by the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, the best has been saved to the last.
Amen.
And so this is a good work. The thing I said no to, now I like it.
Awesome.
because God convicted me, you have to go.
Hallelujah. But,
I didn't want to go. But sometimes you do what you don't want to do, because that was my mind, my will, and my emotions saying no. I had enough Africa in me. I don't want any more. But then I repented, and now it's my favorite place.
Yeah.
It's my favorite place. But I can't believe the work that's done.
Yeah.
All I have to do is mentor Joel, and he mentors over 10 million people. That's so easy. So I just share what God's showing me. And he shares it, and it takes him 6 months to share it. Then he comes back again 6 months. We give him another 2-3 days talking all that I've learned. Oh, I got another 6 months. He goes back and teaches that. Why? Because those truths are eternal truths. And they actually work here, and they work there. So the best is yet to come, even here in Dallas.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Even right here in Dallas.
Amen.
I and a lot of other pastors here believe that Dallas will be central to the revival of America, spiritually, a spiritual revival. I don't like the word revival, but it just means life. Revive means life. God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is
praise
great.
The Lord.
So, Thank you all for your love of God, but also for your love of your brother and sister. The only reason Abraham, I'll close with this, the only reason Abraham got blessed, why God made only a covenant with Abraham, nobody else, and he made the covenant, which Jesus then confirmed by his blood 2,000 years later. I'll make your name great, and I'll make a great nation out of you so that you can bless others. That's it. That was it. So the end of the law is not worship of God. It's that the worship of God produces love to the neighbor. Peace on earth with God first, then you get peace on earth with people second. And so that's the work of the church. We didn't do it. Jesus did it. But we get all the blessing. He takes all the burden. Amen.
Hallelujah.